This is a Sunday night experience, the Big Book, and we have two new people here at this meeting. We're studying the directions on recovery. We are looking at the book, and we take additional information from the steps we took and carry this message on how we can recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you have a way to recover without doing the directions in the first 102 pages, great. But if you don't have a way to recover, then we suggest you do this. And the purpose of this meeting is to go through these directions in detail. And tonight, we were supposed to finish up the handout from 2 weeks ago, but I knew it's AA. Nobody would bring the handout back. And my wife is at home. She's babysitting. She's my copier, so we'll do it next week. It was really good stuff on 6 and 7, finishing up. Tonight, we're going to start on page 76. This is where we're in the Big Book on the Sunday night meeting. And we're coming to step 8. And I'm only going to cover, 3 paragraphs, page 76. And in the Big Book, that's where step 8 starts. And we've covered steps 6 and 7 in great detail. I think we spent 5 or 6 weeks on it, because to me, those are the steps that change us. They're not talked about much at meetings, but I have to be willing to practice a new personality. If I keep practicing the old personality, the same results will happen. So I need to practice a new personality with God's help. And the way we do that in AA is we let go of all the characteristics of our self-centered personality. Here's a new card for you, spiritual checklist. And we try to go from the left-hand side, which is the personal characteristics of a self-centered person, to the characteristics of a God-centered person. And how we do that is through steps 6 and 7. I don't have any more cards, but they're on the site. It's the spiritual checklist. And so now we're at step 8, and a lot of people are new. They say, well, I'm not at step 8, and how can this apply to me? But I'll try to show how it's such an integral part, even if you're a new person, how this will make sense to you. I hope I'll be able to do that. So it says on page 76, we have then completed step 7. Now the steps are numbered in order, in case anybody didn't notice that. It suggested that you do them in order. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I've seen people come in and they're on step 8 and 9 after a week, and they're telling, had an open meeting, how they tried to make amends and this and that, and it didn't work, and so A doesn't work, and I'm not coming back. I think I've heard that a few times. Steps 8 and 9 take a while. They're integral in our recovery, because in 8 and 9 we're unblocking ourselves from the world. We're unblocking ourselves from the people that we're afraid of and that we resented and that we owe amends to. And so when you finish step 8, no matter who comes through the door, you shouldn't be afraid to see them. You will lose fear of people, because you will be willing to make amends to anybody who walks through the door, and you won't be afraid to see them. In fact, people who you used to hate and had a lot of anger towards, after you've worked steps 4 and 5, you realize you owe them amends. And you'll change the way you see them if you've done step 4 and you've said the prayers and you've forgiven. And so this is a really important step, 8 and 9, to be rid of shame and guilt. A lot of people are filled with shame and guilt when they get here. Why? Because we did a lot of bad things, right? We hurt a lot of people. But if you want to be free of shame and guilt, you take the actions of 8 and 9. And it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. And that's from the Bible. It's from the book of James. And I thought I'd read it to you, because they used the book of James to help write the Big Book. And faith without works is dead is in the Big Book several times. Bill Wilson, Lois Smith, and Bob Smith, when Bill and Bob met in May of 1935, and they were the founders of this program, they would read the Bible the first few months they were together. And Lois Smith always read the book of James. And you'll see, so it says, faith without works is dead. Now that's from James chapter 2. And it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. That's what they're talking about here. If you have a relationship with God and you have faith in God through working steps 1 through 7, you will have a relationship with God, and it will be, you'll see it by your deeds. Like people say in AA, talk's cheap. What are your feet doing? You know, can you talk an hour at the meeting, but what are you actually doing? How are you working the steps? It says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And it says, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friends. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way was not even, and then I thought I would just cut it off there. It says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now we talk about the purpose of AA is, a lot of people come here because they don't want to drink anymore. But that isn't your problem. Your problem isn't that you drink alcohol. Now how can I say that? It's Alcoholics Anonymous, it's ridiculous. But it isn't. Alcohol is a symptom, it is the treatment of our disease. We drink because we can't stand to be sober. If we could, then why would we drink? Because we know alcohol is bad for us, right? So sober, why do we take the first drink? Because we can't live in the world sober, and we don't feel good. We get irritable, restless, and discontented. Anybody full of fear, worry, anger, shame, and guilt. We just don't feel right, and we feel uneasy. Did anybody feel uneasy and then drink? And so we're full of fear, we're full of worry. And sober, we can't live sober without alcohol because we're living sober without God. And we're living sober and self-centered, and we're trying to manage the world. Anybody do that? And when we manage the world, it doesn't go well. And we get upset. And then we drink. So the treatment of alcoholism is to have a relationship with God and have a God-centered life, not self-centered. And then when you don't feel well, you go to God and you work the steps. You don't have to drink. And that's really what it's all about. And so the faith without works is dead. If I work the steps and I get a spiritual awakening and then I stop working them and I live self-centered, then my faith and the work I did won't be any good for me, right? And so I have to continue to work the steps, but I have to continue to be of service to God and others. And remember, we're going to talk about that, what our purpose is on the next page. And so if I have a relationship with God, you should see it. You should see it in my behavior. You should see it in the way I act and feel. And so I think it's a circle. And so we get faith. You know how you get faith in AA? You start out willing to believe, right? Because we're willing because we're full of pain. Anybody in pain when they get here? Mm-hmm. Anybody in a lot of pain? And so we're in a lot of pain when we get here, so we're willing to change, right? And then step 2 is you believe you can change, right? And how do you believe you can change? Well, you see it in AA, people who've changed. And they're changed, so you say, well, I'll do what they did. And that's what this book is. It's testimony to what they did. And then step 3 is you decide to change. Make a decision. And the decision to change in step 3 is that I'm not going to run the world anymore. I'm not going to play God. Does anybody know why playing God isn't a good idea? Because it doesn't work and I'm not God. Now, it took me a few years at AA to realize that, oh yeah, I can't play God because I'm not God. It sounds silly, but it's so obvious. And actually, if you looked at the minds of an alcoholic and took a video of our lives and our thinking, we would be locked up. Because we used to lock up people when I was in medical school, thought they were Jesus, you know. They go around, they tell everybody they're Jesus, and we'd put them in a way. They're schizophrenic. But alcoholics run their whole life thinking they're God. And we don't put them in jail. All they do is ruin their lives and others' lives. It sounds crazy, but it is really insane for me to try to run the world. Yet why do I do it? Because I believed that I had this delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of managing life well. It says that in the big book, page 61. I read that, I said, well, wow. It's a delusion, it's not real. That I thought if I could fix the world and make everything go, I'd feel good. Anybody try that? And it might work for a few minutes. It might work for a day, you'll feel great, and then you'll worry about something. Either whatever you got one or something will change. We can never be happy alcoholics from out there. We can never fix the world out there so we feel good. We have to fix ourselves in here. And then no matter what happens in the world, we feel okay. I hope this is helpful. I get off tangent sometime. It says, so let's look at steps 8 and 9. And it said, we have a list of all persons. Look at steps 8 and 9. And step 8 is a definite step. And we're going to look at it. We have a list of all persons we have harmed. Notice it says all. So when you do your fourth step, you'll list your resentments. Anybody have resentment when they come in here? Mm-hmm. You might have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And we list our fears. And then we look at our conduct and who we hurt in our sex lives and other life relationships. And so we have a list of names. Now when you start with the list of names, you don't realize how you hurt these people. When you do this fourth step, you could see my mistakes. I could see where I was selfish, dishonest, and considerate, afraid, and I hurt people. And a lot of times the resentments weren't even true, and whatever they were true, I caused them. And so it changes your attitude towards all those people on your list. And you do this, and you're willing to make amends. It says all the persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. Now, it doesn't say all we're willing to make amends to all of them, but it's implied that. So if there's somebody that you know that you don't want to make amends to that you hurt, why won't you do that? I hear some people say, I'm just not going to make an amends to that person. Well, why? Ask yourself why. And then ask yourself, do you want God to forgive you for your behavior? Then why aren't you forgiving this person? Why don't you say, I forgive that person? And then be willing to make amends. You're the only person that can't do that. You're the only person that keeps yourself from forgiving. And when you do that, you're blocked from God. And remember, just a little blocking from God in AA is like having a little bit of cancer. It's going to grow. And so you don't want to be blocked from anybody. You don't want to have any barrier between you and anybody. You don't have any anger against anybody because it'll eat an alcoholic. Now, you may look at me and say, but when people don't stop coming and they go out and drink, it's because they have unresolved resentments and they haven't forgiven people. And so it's very important that we do that. And you have to make, willing to make amends to them all. Now, you may not know all the persons you've harmed. It's very common. I still think now, years later, I'll say, gee, God, when I was 25, why did I do that? That was a bad thing. Gee, what was I thinking? I hate it when I ask myself that, because of course I was. In fact, I can't even understand what I was thinking when I did that. But at the time, it made absolute sense, whatever I told myself I was thinking. And I think that's the change we see. So you always, names will come up, and then you decide if you can make an amends now or not, if it's worthwhile. So you want to be willing to make amends to all. And it says, we made it when we took inventory. You do it when you do your fourth step. Now, why is doing a fourth step important? Because if you don't do the fourth step, you can't get the 12. And the 12th step is where you have a relationship with God. And the fourth step, everybody talks about how hard it is and this and that. It's nonsense. We go through it here. We go through the instructions. They're all in the podcast. It's not hard to do, especially if you do it according to the book. It's a very set way of doing it so that you can see why you were angry at everybody. You learn the process of freedom from anger on pages 66 and 7 with the prayers. And then you look at your mistakes, and then you're willing to forgive and make amends. And then for fear, you look at your fears. All of our fears are when we're relying on me to run the world. And then we look at them and we learn the prayer, God, remove my fear and direct my attention how I should be. And in step three, four with resentments, it's God, save me from being angry. And so you learn these powerful things, and you get a list, and you see the names, and you change the way you see the world. You're starting to change the way you see your past. And you're seeing it in a better way, and it sounds hard, but when you do that, you're free. You're free of these old ideas on how you saw the world. And I don't know about you, but I saw it pretty screwed up. I can see it screwed up today, but I have tools now. Mm-hmm. See, the stuff I did in step four, I go through the process. Whenever I get angry, I say, well, I'm angry at Sue calls, and well, I'm just threatened because I'm back in self. God, save me from being angry at so-and-so, and go on. In fact, I don't even have to say it anymore, because when I start getting irritated, I just say, gee, it's not worth the effort. They are who they are. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And so it's a great way to live. It says, we subjected ourselves to drastic self-appraisal. Now we're appraising myself, and we're drastically appraising myself. And it's not, you don't look and see if you're tall or if you're too fat, if you need to lose weight. You're appraising your thinking, how your thinking was before you got in here. And your thinking determined your actions. And if you got here, it wasn't because your thinking was good. Nobody came in AA and said, gee, I've had a great life, and I'm really a good thinker. And my actions are great, but I would have come to AA. Does it happen? In fact, we don't even see how we were wrong half the time. It's just them. They were all wrong. Anybody come here and have a list of five or six people that got you here? It's pretty common. You know, if you were married to them or live with them, you'd drink too. You know, you hear that all the time. Everybody's laughing because it's probably true. So you're appraising yourself drastically. It's not a hard thing. It's good to see the truth. Now, I said the set-aside prayer when we started, right? What am I setting aside? All the things that I thought I knew that were wrong. I'm setting aside all my old ideas because they're wrong. I want to see them differently. It says, now we're going to go out. So we're going to go out to our fellows. We're going to go out to the world. And we're going to repair the damage that I did in my past. Isn't that a good idea? Now, we can't repair all of it, of course. And we can't really change what we did, but we want to repair the relationships between the people we hurt. So we're not afraid of them anymore. And if we can do something to mend the relationship, we want to do it. So step eight is just looking at this. So we're attempting to sweep away the debris. I looked at my garage today, and there's a lot of debris in there. And I'm going to do that as a project. I put it on my list. And I'm going to clean the debris. Now, if there was enough debris in there, I wouldn't be able to park my car. Now, we do have three stalls, and one of them we can't use because it's full of debris. And so how can I have God come into my mind and direct my life if it's full of debris? You see the picture? We want to clean out all the crap we got in here. Now, Joe and Charlie talk about our mind's like a 7-Eleven when we come in here. And we want God to direct our thinking, but it's a 7-Eleven that's full of resentment, which is all the stuff in the aisles. Fear is everything in the glass cases, and shame and guilt is the storeroom in the back. Now, God can't direct that mind because it's blocked. So what we're trying to do is unclog the resentments and the fears. And now in 8-9, we're going to sweep away the shame and guilt from our behavior. Does this make sense? And then, step 10 and 11, when we start each day, we're not carrying around all the crap that we had when we came in here. So we're going to sweep it away. And how did I get it? I got it out of my effort to live on self-will and run the show myself. Now, does anybody here think that they should live on self-will and run the show themselves any longer? See, if you're new, you don't realize that that was your problem. It's not alcohol. Is that you were living your life on self-will and you were running the show. And when you run the show, things don't go well. So I had to learn that I don't want to run the show and I don't want to live on self-will. Now, in 8-9, we're looking at the past, but we're human beings. So when I woke up today, I could live on self-will. I'm not a saint. And I could run the show myself. And then the day could turn to crap. So I do steps 10, 11 is where we look at our, where we're running the show all day long and where we're living on self-will so we unblock it. Does this make sense? So 8 and 9 is where we're trying to clean up the past. And then 10 and 11 is how we're going to learn how we can live on God's will and not run the show. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. It doesn't say we ask. It says we ask until it comes. You want to be willing to make amends to everybody. You want to be willing to forgive everybody. I can't tell you how important that is. Step 8 is where you get free of the, start to get free of the bondage of self. Because you're free of all this, these people having power over you. Anybody you don't want to forgive has become your higher power. You don't want that anymore. You want God to be your higher power. So we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed. They're going to give you, they always give you a warning in AA. It was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Does anybody want to agree to that? Anybody want to go to any length for victory over alcohol? Yes? All right, well, if you are, then it's agreed, so you have to be willing to do this. You have to be willing to steps. How do you know if you're willing to go to any length to recover from alcohol? You're working the steps. If you're new, you've taken 1, 2, and 3, and you start on step 4 with a sponsor. If you don't get a sponsor, you listen to the podcast. There are all the directions you could start doing it. And so if you, am I going to any lengths for victory over alcohol? It doesn't say that I have victory over alcohol today. I still have to be willing to do it. So in the morning when I wake up, I say that prayer. It says, I think of my plans for the day. But before I begin, I ask God to direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. So it's like, I don't have to go to any lengths today. We never get to the point where we don't have to do the work. We never get cured. And so I want freedom from the bondage of self. That's what victory over alcohol seems like. I have freedom from fear and my anger and my self-centeredness. Anybody want that? Probably there are still some misgivings. Of course, it's AA. Everybody has misgivings. Well, you know, that's okay for him, but he doesn't understand my life. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Now, diffident means modest or shy because of lack of confidence. So you're trying to live on a spiritual basis, right? So you may feel uneasy about going to someone who you hurt or you may have hated and talk to them about your relationship with God and how God's changed you and you're trying to find a solution to self-will. They may not understand that. Let us be reassured that some people we need not, probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature in our first approach. So we're trying to go to people on a spiritual basis, but we don't have to talk about our spiritual regeneration. And when we're talking to them, we have to talk to them about how they feel about what we did and how we can make amends for what we did. And so there's only two questions. You talk to the person, you say, how do you feel about what I did? And you listen. And then how can I make amends for that? You're not asking for forgiveness. We've forgiven them. We want to make right the relationship. And when you go, you're telling them that you actually feel bad about what you did just from the act of going. It says, at the moment, now these are two really important sentences. It says, at the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order. Does that sound like a good idea? Mm-hmm. Anybody come in here with a life out of order? Well, if it wasn't out of order when you came here, you're not ready yet. So how is our life out of order? Doesn't that sound great? I'm going to put my life in order. Well, what do they mean? Well, there are three ways we put our lives in order. The first way my life was out of order was with God. Why? I was playing God. He wasn't my director. I wasn't letting him manage my life. So how do I put my life in order with God? I make the decision in step 3 that God's going to be my director and that I'm not going to run the show anymore. Now, how do I put my life in order with me and my mind? Steps 4 through 7. We're looking at our mind and our thinking, and we're looking at the exact nature of our wrongs so that we can be rid of them and change our personality. And then how do I put myself in order with the world? 8 and 9. So those are the three ways that AA, we're putting our lives in order with God, with ourselves, and with other human beings. And what could be better than that, right? But it says that's not an end in itself. That's not the whole goal of AA. And here it is. This should be read at every meeting, but it's not. My real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So my real purpose is to fit myself so that I can be of maximal service to God and people. We're talking about exercising. I don't want to fit myself a little bit so I can be of a little service to God and others. I have to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and people about us. I always read this that I'm going to fit myself to be of service to God and others. Well, that's true. But I want to fit myself to be of maximal service. So how do I fit myself to be of maximal service? Well, we work the steps. And we look at step 10 when we get to page 85. It tells us how we react if we're in fit spiritual condition. How do we react to life? If you're in fit spiritual condition, alcohol has no power over you. You will see alcohol sanely and normally. The problem will be removed. If you're in fit spiritual condition, you're going to react differently when someone starts to make you angry or you start to get afraid, you see? And so the goal is to be in fit spiritual condition. And you get that way through working the steps 1 through 9 and then living in 10, 11, and 12. Now, if you're new, you say, well, gee, he's talking a lot, and I don't know, this sounds good, but I don't know what it means, but this is the deal. The deal is to fit ourselves to serve God and others rather than me. And if I serve God and others, then I feel good. So I tried to feel good all my life by getting things I thought I needed, and I feel good today by being of maximal service to God and others. It's a whole different approach. That's a change in the way in your attitude and outlook on life, isn't it? But I guarantee if you do it, you'll feel so much better. It says it's seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him. So if you just shot somebody, you might not want to go to the hospital the next day. If you stole money from somebody and wrecked their car, you might want to wait a week or two. You have to be careful. Now, I suggest you not do steps 8 and 9 till you've done 4 and 5 with a sponsor, and that you go over the list of who you hurt with your sponsor and see how you actually hurt people. Because you can't go to them until you know what you actually did. Now, I used to think I had to make amends to everybody that I hated. Well, my God, if you're an alcoholic, did anybody dislike a lot of people in your lifetime? Did anybody bother you? And so I was a judgment machine. Everybody's staring at me like I'm a lunatic. But I don't know about you, but I used to judge a lot of people. I disliked them. Now, I didn't tell them I disliked them, so I'm not going to go up to them and say, you know, I hated you for years at work. And I want you to forgive me, because that won't help. But I see now where my judgment of people, and I thought negative feelings about a lot of people, and it was really because I didn't feel good about myself. And I was trying to get self-esteem by putting other people down in my mind. That wasn't a good way. Didn't work. But we don't want to do that. So you have to be careful about how you go to people and what you say, because we're going to see in step 9, you don't want to make things worse. So step 9 says, wherever possible to others, but you don't want to do any more harm, right? So you have to be very careful. So there's some people that you feel bad about your actions, but you just don't want to go to them because it'll make it worse. There's nothing you can do that'll amend what you did, and you might just make it worse. But you have to talk to someone, and you go to God with it too. It says, if we lay ourselves open to be branded fanatics or religious bores, so it's careful how you talk to them, we may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. Because some of these people, you may want to see that you've changed from the steps so that maybe they'll want to do it. But you don't want to kill that message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. That's what we're trying to do. It's not forgiveness. For a lot of things we did, we probably can't be really forgiven. But there's nothing we can do to change it. But we want to make amends for it. And then if we act differently, people will forgive us. The other thing is, people want to be forgiven by God. I hear that a lot. I believe God's already forgiven us, and especially if we forgive everybody. We say that every meeting at the Lord's Prayer. Anybody ever looked at the words? It says, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And so forgiveness is a key in AA. It's not written a forgiveness step, but it's implied. Because in AA, it does talk about our code of living is love and tolerance. And remember, love is the absence of hate. And you can't love and not forgive at the same time. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so the love is a big principle of living in AA. If you bring love in every situation, your life will be great. If you bring love in every interaction you have with people, your days will be great. But sometimes we bring ourselves in instead of love. But when we bring love in, we're bringing God. I mean, it's worked for me. If I'm not feeling good in the situation, I'm not bringing love into it. If I'm feeling negative about somebody or putting them down, I'm not being loving, am I? And so it works. And I recognize that now, so I can stop myself. And it says, we don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God, but we don't come as evangelists when it will, because we're talking about our relationship with God. We can't do anything about their relationship with God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense, because we can be a witness. We can be a very powerful witness, especially people who knew us, that we've changed. And people notice you'll change if you work the steps, and then they'll wonder what you're doing, and they may ask you, and you can tell them. So I'm going to stop right there. I blabbered for 31 minutes. I hope it was helpful. But I feel very strongly about this information. It's very powerful. It's changed my life. So we'll open up now. We've got time to talk.